It's time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
Okay, yes, and we're back once again. We'll be here for about upwards of 45 minutes. And I've got some more questions on streets, things like that. It's kind of interesting, really. And, okay, let's get started in this portion here with more streets. Now, there was one street in Marion that if you were a clogger, you know what a clogger is, a dancer, that street would go right, would fill the bill. Now, what street would that be in Marion that a clogger would love, well, I would love to be part of, or whatever. What's the name of the street in Marion that has to do with something Scottish? What would that be? Or, how about another here? An easy one. What was a man's name he was Secretary of Commerce in the Harding administration. Do you remember that man? Who was he? Later, in 1931, he came to Marion and gave the dedication speech. Now, he made sure it was a long time after Harding was buried because of all the controversy at that particular time. But he gave in 1931, which is 4 years after. Oh, here we go. Okay, go ahead.
Hello, Charlie.
Yes, hello.
I have a question about streets. So
good.
Not an answer.
Okay.
David, is it David or David?
Yeah, no.
I've seen it both ways on street signs and
yes,
in advertisements.
Now, I'm glad you said that. We're going to find out today, because I've been wondering that same thing since I moved to Marion.
Yes.
Is it David or David Street?
Well, let's David's. See if the listeners can help us.
Yeah, okay. Hey, very good.
Thank you, Charlie.
Okay, thanks. All right, yeah. What is it, David or David's? Officially, is it David or David's Street? All right. Okay, now, and keep that in the back of your mind, too, because I would like for you to tell me the man that came to Marion in 1931 and gave the speech, the dedication of the Harding Memorial, 4 years after it was built. 4 years. And, boy, the area around that memorial was full of people you couldn't reach in your pocket without bumping somebody. They were everywhere. And you might say, why'd they wait so long? Well, Hoover, he was a little antsy about doing that memorial speech. But he did it 4 years later. How about that? Now, does anyone, well, I guess we all know why he waited so long. He wanted a lot of the problems blown over, forgotten. Because, the different things popped up during that time prior to his speech. Okay, now, what else can I trick you, ask you about? There were a lot of streets in Marion named after presidents. Can you give me more than one? Streets in Marion named after presidents. And if you can answer that and you would like a pair of tickets to the zoo, just give me the answer. 740-333-9944. Or what's a street in Marion that has a Scottish tilt to it, you might say? The street in Marion that you associate with Scotland. And a clogger. Even a clogger. Oh, here we go. Just a second. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Was it Mr. Hoover?
Yeah, it was Hoover. Herbert Hoover.
Yeah, you just gave the answer away.
Oh. That's me.
Okay.
Were you there by any chance?
No, not quite.
Well, that was before both of us were born.
I think you're right.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, I do remember, I don't know if it was in one of the magazines that you wrote or something else that I have, but oh, my gracious. Like you said, there was no standing room at all.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, well, okay. I'm glad you gave the answer.
Okay, thanks. Okay, bye. That's me. Okay, Herbert Hoover. Yes, indeed. Herbert Hoover. And I don't know if there are pictures available for you to see, probably in the history books and elsewhere, about that 1931 speech of Herbert Hoover. Okay, now, the street in Marion that has a Scottish tilt to it, you might say. What would that be? What's a street in Marion associated with a Scottish people? That should not be too hard, but probably is. Okay, what street in Marion has a Scottish, you would associate with Scotland or whatever? Okay, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Okay, there's a Clinton Street and Eisenhower Street, and I think maybe a Jackson Street.
Yeah.
Not for sure, I think I've seen that.
Right, and a Harding Highway.
Yeah, Harding.
Yeah. Oh, my. But, hey, would you like some zoo tickets?
No, I can't win yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I sure appreciate you participating today.
Yes, okay.
Okay, bye.
Okay,
yeah. Okay, now, what street in Marion? I'm trying to think where this street is. Just a second here. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Oh, the president streets in Marion?
Yes.
There's quite a few.
Yeah.
There's Grant, Lincoln, Adams, Tyler. Let's see. I was thinking that the other day. There's probably six or seven.
And there's Harding.
Yeah, Harding. But there's a couple more I know that I'm missing. But
yeah.
So, I've got to be someplace in a few minutes, so I can't think.
Yeah.
Okay,
I think okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, there's some streets out in the north end of town, right? Grant is up in the north end. And a few of the others. Grant, yeah. I guess Grant did a tremendous job, or the man that portrays Grant did a tremendous job at the dinner with the presidents. Now, the dinner with the presidents was one of the most highly successful ventures the Historical Society has ever done. And it's been going on for some years. But they had 250 people in Dayspring Church and listening to the various presidents and sitting with some of them. Wow, it was good. That is different for Marion, and that shows ingenuity, some good thinking. Okay, now, let me see. I was thinking, Cedar. Is there a Cedar Street in Marion? I have that written down here. The street named after a fragrant wood. Is there a Cedar Street? Okay, caller, go ahead.
you get your military street a little bit ago, Sergeant Street?
No, I never. No, okay, Sergeant, yes. Would you like to go to the zoo?
Nah.
Okay. Okay, well, thanks. Okay. Yeah, boy. Yeah, let's see. What else? Here's one. If you've ever gone to Florida or ever gone to Covington, Kentucky, there's a sign, a billboard, indicating, what does it say? It is referencing a city in Kentucky. And what is that sign all about? It was going to be the name of a shopping center, but it has the name of a city in Kentucky, but it doesn't have that name spelled out. Do you know what I'm talking about? A million people have seen that sign as they pass down through the Covington area. And what city was it referring to? 740-333-9944. You remember looking up, and that sign is up on, seems like on a ridge there. You can see it. I've only been down through there several times. And, okay. There is and around the Covington area, too, there is a installation of the Catholic Church, the same type of installation that's in Cary. Now, what do you call that? It slips my mind. And in that church is a stained glass window showing, I think, the devil cutting the head off of St. Peter. Have you ever been there? Okay. Well, moving right along. What's the name of that Kentucky city indicated by that billboard as you're driving south on Interstate 45 or whatever it is? Okay. And let me see. There was a man that has a street named after him. He could have a dozen streets, a dozen towns named after him, because he surveyed the whole area and while on horseback among the Indians. And there is, let me see. Yeah, there was a school in Crawford County named after him. And, oh my goodness, there were towns and this and that. What would that man's name been? His first name was Alex, or Alexander. What was his last name? That lady that called that lives north of Bucyrus probably knew. The school has been torn down. And it was a high school. Okay, what was his name? Most famous early surveyor you could ever find. Now, you can tell me. At one time, I went to an auction, and I bought a metal box. And inside that metal box was a long chain. And the links of the chain were so many inches each. And I didn't know what it was until some old-timer, like me. I wasn't an old-timer at that time, told me what that was. That was a box of chains used in surveying. Have you ever seen a description of a property, so many chains in length? Well, that's how it was done. You stretched out the chains and had your answer. A lot of surveys were made with chains. I often wonder, too, of course you have to study to become a surveyor big time, but I wonder what all is involved in surveying. All right, now, yeah, we had a Civil War general by the name of Harrison, and he's related to my wife. My wife is from the Harrisons from a long time ago. Yeah, and that city in, let me see what time, 11:30, that city in Kentucky is Florence. What did that sign say? Florence, y'all? Something like that? Florence. You remember that? Does that ring a bell? Okay, if not, we're going to break here for a minute or two, and we'll be right back with another 29 minutes or so of things on this. And at 12:15, I'll be on till 1 o'clock with Scott, talking about who knows what. Stay right where you are. Scott, did you know that Martha Dowse and George Casillas were taught to dance by Marian, native and Miss America, Marilyn Meskey?
I had heard that.
What you didn't know was that after Marilyn taught them how to dance, that George gave her a gift.
Oh, really? What was that?
Two jugs of olive oil and a box of lemons.
George's calling card, WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again. The time is 11:31, and how are you doing today? Are you keeping warm? Are you concerned with the, what's the title I gave it? Feels like, but it feels like, FLS, Biffles. Biffles. Now, you watch television today at noon or tonight, and when they do the weather, they'll say overnight it's going to get down into the 20s. And then Biffles enters the picture, but it will feel like 10 degrees. You watch that. But I've nicknamed it now Biffles, but it feels like. And you can put that in the heat of the summer also. It's 100 degrees out there, folks, but it feels like 120. Biffles. Okay, and now, going to some more local things here. Here's a good one. I've asked this maybe a dozen or so times, but we've got a lot of new people listening. And there is a street in Marion named after a steam engine. That's right. A steam engine... was made on this particular street. That's how it got its name. What is the name of that street? Named after a steam engine. Yeah, you have to think about that for a moment. Not too long. What's the name of the street in Marion that was named after a steam engine? And it wasn't Huber Street. Okay. Now, let's see, what else? The Scottish thing. What do you relate to Scotland in streets in Marion? Now, there's a term given to people that do things in Scotland. Now, one thing is the clogging, but the term Scotland also lend its support to this particular word I'm looking for you to tell me. It has to do with height, for one thing. The name of this street you associate with Scotland also is an indicator of height. H-I-G-H-T. Okay, and what else do I have here? We talked about Herbert Hoover. General Harrison, my wife's relation. I'm related to Grant. She's related to Harrison. Isn't that funny? Okay, yes. Caller, go ahead.
Hello, Charlie.
Hello there.
Would that street happen to be Huber?
No, it wasn't Huber. It was another steam engine made in Marion.
Oh.
Yeah. But you think about that for a while. Is there a Huber Street, too? I think Mill Street, did they change that to Huber? I'm not quite sure. Anyhow.
I have to think about that.
Yeah, okay. Now, the street I'm talking about for the steam engine is on the west side of the city. Before you get to the railroad tracks. You think about it. Okay? All right, yes. What's the name of that street? It's one of the streets in Marion with an overpass. Well, actually, an underpass. Boy, that ought to be a pretty good hint. I still have tickets to the zoo for you. 7403-39944. All right, let me see. Yeah. There are still some of these steam tractors around the United States. I don't know how many of them are left, certainly not many. But do you know, in Washington, D.C., in the one building on the mall, the history, the building with the original Star-Spangled Banner on the wall, also has an item from Marion. Can you tell me what it is? Have you been there? The Museum of Natural History, I think they call it. There's an item, a very, very pronounced item and heavy item from Marion. What would it be? 740-383-9944. All right. Okay, what's the name of the street in Marion named after a steam engine? And what item made in Marion is on display in the Museum of Natural History or Natural Science in Washington? I about fell over when I saw it. I didn't know it was there. It's right inside the front door, down on, well, just a slightly lower level, if it's still there. Boy, it would be really in good shape, too. I don't know if they put it there when it was brand new or not. But they recognized the importance of this item made in Marion. Yeah, it's in Washington, on the mall, Museum of Natural History or Natural Science. Okay. So, what else can I ask you? Oh, here's an easy one. There's a street in Marion that has the name of a floor wax. Now, what kind of floor wax would that be? 7403-39944. What floor wax has a street in Marion named after it? Oh, here's somebody that knows. Yes, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, that steam engine, would that be the Leader?
Yeah, the Leader Street, yes, the Leader. Now, the one in Washington is the Huber.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that is quite impressive, yeah. It's right inside the door, you look, and there's Huber Steam Tractor. Wow.
Okay.
Okay. Very good. Well, thanks. All right. Yeah, that's something. And you never hear that mentioned, though, but all the kids who have gone to Washington, D.C. on school trips have seen it. Have any come home and told you about the Huber tractor? Maybe they didn't know it was made in Marion. Okay, 11:38 is the time. But I thought, you know, of all things, to have a Huber steam tractor in the Museum of Natural Science or Natural whatever. Okay, here's another caller. Okay, caller, go ahead. Are you there?
Hello, Charlie.
Yes.
Are you looking for Johnson Street?
Johnson
floor wax.
Floor wax, yes, Johnson floor wax.
Right.
Yeah, very good. Do you qualify for a zoo ticket?
No, I'm good, Charlie.
Okay, very good. Okay. Yes, Johnson floor wax. How many of you know what Johnson floor wax smells like? How many of you have helped your parents wax your kitchen floor? Not many, huh? Yeah, Johnson's Floor Wax. It's been famous for so many years. Now, I tell you what. In Prospect, there was a cleaner of a different kind. It was a wallpaper cleaner made in Prospect. Oh, my goodness. What was the name of the wallpaper cleaner made in Prospect? I bet there's nobody that knows. I've seen it. It could be green. Usually was green until it got dirty. Remember? And you only used wallpaper cleaner in the springtime after you've operated your furnace all winter long and got soot in the house and it stuck to your wallpaper. And then you rubbed this cleaner down. It was like what would you say is close to it? Well, it didn't stick to your fingers necessarily until it got pretty well used. Then it got a little sticky. But you made a little patty out of it, kind of, and rubbed it down your wall. And it looked so good when you went down your wall, and there your wallpaper looked fresh and clean once again. Now, do you remember anything like that? Probably some don't. Or, if you remember that, you'll also remember going outside with a rug beater and beating the heck out of your rugs. You'd hang them over the line, and then you whap, 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 and dust would get in your nose and your eyes. Remember that? Yeah. What they call a rug beater. Yes, that's it. The rug beater. And you know what they now sell for? $7.50 at flea markets. Or more. Okay, let me see. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Oh, I remember those years ago, too. I would say it was like a consistence of Play-Doh.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of as I see it.
So. Pliable Play-Doh, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
No, I saw my mother many times doing that.
Yeah, so. I used to love doing it, helping my parents.
Uh-huh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
thanks.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Oh, my. I remember cleaning wallpaper. You know, every year, we had those spring duties. You took all the rugs out, hung them over the line, beat the heck out of them. And now those beaters sell as an antique. That gives you an idea how long ago this was. And years ago, they sold for about $7.50 a piece. I'm sure a rug beater now in an antique shop sells for probably $15. I'm not exact. Maybe I ought to tell you the name of the wallpaper cleaner that was once made in Prospect. Because there's nobody old enough in Prospect to remember how long ago or what the name of that cleaner was. It started with the letter P. Postel. Postel wallpaper cleaner. Made in Prospect. And wouldn't it be interesting to know if any of the old timers remember Postel's, P-O-S-T-L-E, Postel wallpaper cleaner. Wow, that would be something to have somebody remember that. It wasn't probably one of the most popular cleaners. There are whole numbers of them on the market. And you had to pry the... It came in a tin can. And you lifted the lid off and reached down and got that wallpaper cleaner and rubbed it in your hand until it got it good and soft. And then down the hatchet went, down the wallpaper cleaner. And if your house got dirty enough, it didn't take long to go through and have one end up entirely black. Oh, my goodness. A wallpaper cleaner that turned black because it had absorbed all the dirt off your wallpaper. And then, remember the Holland Furnace Company? Are they still around? They might be. The Holland Furniture Company, or Holland Furnace Company, used to be around every spring. You could hear their compressor running, and they inflated this great big bag. I don't know if that was to impress you or not, but they would clean the dirt out of your ducts, your furnace ducts, whether they were dirty or not. And it was quite impressive, though, to drive down the street and see that great big balloon-like structure. And then you knew it was a Holland furnace company cleaning the furnace. Remember that? I know some, sometimes your furnace kind of backfired a little bit and that all
Scott,
that.
Scott, do you remember when Hillary Clinton came to Marion in 2016?
Yes, I do. I stood outside of the Harding Hotel in the rain waiting to get an interview that didn't happen.
You know why she chose the Harding Hotel to meet?
No, I don't.
Well, they used to have a hair salon in the lobby, and she could sure use it.
Here we go again. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Okay, we're back once again. We got about 12 and a half minutes left in the program. Time for you to win the tickets to the Columbus Zoo. All right. My next question would be, let me look here. A street in Marion named after a city in Europe. A street in Marion named after a city in Europe. Ooh, that'd be a good one. Or can you tell me what variety of tomato is used to make, well, like tomato soup and other ingredients out of, they're an odd looking, they're not round. They're kind of oblong tomatoes. Now what is that variety called? And they're everywhere. Yeah. But you don't use them for making tomato juice to drink necessarily. You make them for tomato soup, things like that. How many of you like tomato soup with basil in it? Now, where did my wife bought that. My wife, Jeannie, bought tomato basil soup from, I don't know, maybe it was from the Schwan Man. I'm not sure. But I like tomato basil. The basil just gave it a nice little twang. Okay, here we go. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yes, would it be London Street?
No, it wasn't London. But it's not too far street, away from London.
It's a street named after a European city.
Yeah.
Yeah, London is.
Well, yes, London. There's another, too.
Oh, we can't read your mind.
You don't need to read my mind. I'll tell you. How's that? Toledo, right. Spain.
Okay, but also London Street.
Okay, how about Toledo Street in Marion?
Yeah.
You know where that's at?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, the northwest side. Yeah, okay. So we got London, England.
London.
Okay, and Toledo, Spain. Okay. And so it goes. All right. Okay. And let me see. What else? I'm getting down to the very last thing here. Oh, yeah. Name the variety of tomato used for tomato soup and other things other than just plain tomato juice. It's oblong. It's not round. What's the name of that tomato? And it starts with the letter R. Is that a pretty good hint? And, a lot of people grow those that like to make, other than tomato juice. They like to make all kinds of things out of tomatoes. They've got flavor. I don't think they have as many seeds as the regular burpee variety of tomato. Burpees, though, do have this particular type I'm looking for you to answer. Okay, and another thing I haven't mentioned this time, now Scott mentioned it several times, the Clarendon United Methodist Church tomorrow will have their annual 9-4 get-together with homemade gifts, baked goods, and sweets, homemade noodles, all kinds of stuff. That's tomorrow. Okay, caller, go ahead.
It's a Roma.
Roma tomato. Is correct, yes.
It's an Italian tomato.
Yeah.
Well, and I've already won, so.
Oh, you've run? Okay.
I just wanted to let the answer the tomato question.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Bye.
Now, what do they call tomatoes original variety? Now, a lot of people go for, you know, for antique this and that and everything else. Now there's this big craze coming up for tomatoes of what particular type? Yes, caller, go ahead.
Good morning. The Roma tomato?
Yeah, it was Roma, yes.
Roma, right. Okay.
Okay, thanks.
It's,
yeah.
It's not one that you want to eat as a sandwich.
That's
or
for
a
sure.
Salad.
Yes, right.
It's more of a,
more
like
meaty.
You say, for soups and things.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good, okay. Yeah, Roma is a little more meaty. Doesn't have as many seeds. And sometimes some of the other varieties have more seeds than anything. But, oh, I'm thinking right now, how many of you would go for a bacon, lettuce, tomato sandwich right now? Sounds good, doesn't it? Okay, what else do we have coming up here in the way of, I think Prospect United Methodist Church also has a doings this weekend. And Trinity Baptist has the second Tuesday of each month at 5:15, a free meal. Trinity Baptist on South Main Street. Warren G. Harding's home church. That's from a little while ago. That's the church, remember the other day I was telling you, has a brass label on the pew that says Warren G. Harding. That's in case he didn't know where he was supposed to sit. Okay. Let me see. Alexander Holmes was Holmes Liberty High School. Remember that? In Crawford County? Alexander Holmes, if you look him up in a history book, you wouldn't believe all he did in surveying areas of Ohio. Alexander Holmes. There was one other man, too. What was his name? He surveyed Worthington, Ohio. And there was a town named after him in Delaware County. I can't remember his name offhand. Okay, caller, go ahead.
You're talking about the heirloom tomatoes?
Yes, the heirloom, right. Yeah. Hey. Yeah, I forgot I asked that. Okay, would you like tickets to the zoo?
No, this is Nancy. I was going to ask you something else.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the honey dippers?
Oh, yeah. Hey, and I heard, too, this morning on the scanners that they thought some silo was on fire. It might have been just steam. I don't know. I heard no more.
Oh, my God.
That's one thing you don't want to have happen.
No.
You got to keep that corn aerated and heated and dried and so forth.
Oh, they've been staying up here night after night.
Yes.
They're down to less than 35 acres now.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Yeah, they're doing good here.
Yes.
They're almost, they might finish up today.
Well, that's good,
I hope so.
I suppose corn's down about at least 13 or 14%.
Well, they have to dry it down, you know, so it won't.
Down to that, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Okay, bye.
Okay, thanks. Okay, yeah. Now, that if you're not a farmer, you know, when you harvest the corn and it's a little bit on the wet side, you cannot put it in a silo and just plain blow air through it because it could heat up and catch fire. And every year this happens here and there. And so you've got to run it through a dryer. Now, here's another thing. Farmers have to go to all the extra expense of providing the fuel and the dryer itself and then stay there while the corn is dried, it takes so many minutes to do this, and then the corn has to be uplifted into a silo and then aerated. Blowers keep running through it so it doesn't gain any moisture. It's quite a process, and it amounts to an expenditure of money. So it, you know, you'd think, or you'd like to think that there's some higher profit in farming, but when you add up all the figures and then add up the cost of equipment, it's something else. But one thing about a farmer, they're persistent. Despite all the bad times, they'll still be there every year planting another crop. Okay, 11:55 is the time, and how are you doing today? Are you going to have any fun this weekend? I know a few people probably will be going to the zoo. And let me see if I can find something else that you can answer. I'm looking here for another question. Okay, we have only 4 minutes left in the program today. Oh, I know, here's one. Can you tell me what group used to come to the Coliseum when we had ice-making machinery there? Can you tell me one of the groups that used to come that was a national group? Can you remember their title? I do. That was about the time we had Barons hockey. Remember? The farm team from the Cleveland Barons. It never amounted to much. Except for Gordon Veshprava, the star player. And then Gene Autry came, and I remember seeing Gene Autry. My sister was a fan of Gene Autry, so she even went to Boston to see him once. And so you can imagine when he came to Marion, she was right there. And let's see, the Coliseum. I've got a picture of the Coliseum groundbreaking. I think the picture says 1950. Now, I saw on the internet some 1949 indications. But I thought it was 1950. I'd like to firm that up because I got the picture of the first shovel full of dirt taken, you know. Now, one thing we don't have anymore at the during the fair, we've got a lot of things, but we're missing one thing. Farm machinery. I think farm machinery kind of faded away when there was some problem with the pranksters and kids climbing all over and maybe getting into trouble. But now the Wyandotte County Fair is just the opposite. They've got acres, you might say, of farm machinery every year. And I don't believe they have a problem. I remember, too, one year, one of the car dealers that sold International Scouts was there. In fact, two different years he was there. And I bought, each time, I bought a International Scout from him. Boy, that was a Harbor Motors, I think it was called, Ron Harbor. Boy, that was a long time ago. Remember him? Okay, let me see. What else do I have here? Let me see. Yeah, they used to have a corn husking contest every year up there. Maybe they still do. I don't know. At the Wyandotte County Fair, because it time-wise coincides with corn harvesting. All right, and my daughter and, not my daughter, but my granddaughter and grandson in Caledonia have rabbits they display at the fair. Boy, they really love their rabbits. Okay, I'm looking here to see if there's anything that might be of interest. I'm looking back 2 years. All right. Let me see. Oh, here's one. There's a creek in Crawford County named after something that belonged to Colonel Crawford. Whoa. Now, that's a good question. A creek in Crawford County named after something that belonged to the famous Colonel Crawford before he was captured and burned at the stake. Something that he had that apparently left behind, maybe when he was captured, I don't know. There is a creek named after this item. Oh boy, it's almost noon. That's Broken Sword Creek, incidentally, in Crawford County. And that's all the time I got today. Hey, we'll see you at 12:15 with Scott, so stay tuned. Right now it is exactly 12 noon.
You're listening to WWGH Radio, LP, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place, 107.1 FM, from Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you. Yeah. All you'd have to do is raise your hands and energize our transmitter.
To formerly of WNCI, Weasel Boy, is that true? I've never asked that question on air before, by the way, but...
I can tell.
I wasn't even sure how to word it.
When the way your arms got going, He's never asked anybody that question before.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know. To 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Do you think he needed her after that primary election?
Yes, and I think I go back to Abraham Lincoln when it's the... You bring your enemies close.
That was... Mm-hmm. Had you ever seen a primary like that in your life?
You mean Abraham Lincoln?
You weren't there for that one. You weren't there for that one.
I read the book.
Hillary and Obama. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at scott@wwgh1071.com and keep an eye out for the WWGH News Chopper flying high overhead.
This is Bob Bender. You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
Meadows Lawn Care and Landscaping is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-262-5638. Email meadowslawncare43302@gmail.com. Creating unique environments. Facebook, Meadows Lawn Care.
This is Earl Pitts American. You're listening to WWGH 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address 400 Delaware Avenue. Phone number 740-387-9000.